Deezer Originals.
Wherever you are, whenever you are, welcome to Talk Stew. It's another episode with the boys and myself, and today, I actually feel quite awful for saying this because a lot of people have been getting me on my social media DMs the fact that we've not had a female guest on the show so far. It's terrible. Yeah. That's not because I'm a massive chauvinist. I don't know the way you're looking at me, you're like, let's see where he's going with this. That's not because I'm a massive chauvinist. It's just circumstance. I won't say who, but we've had three people who were supposed to come on who weren't male, and scheduling just got in the way. You actually cancelled on us last week. Yeah, there's a look to the skies. Exactly. Before we get to the person who's suddenly not as cocky and confident and suddenly slightly embarrassed, we should introduce who's around the mics today. Welcoming back to the Stew as normal, it's Owen Cutts.
Hi.
And Uzo.
Hi, mate.
I don't actually know your surname.
That's disrespectful, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not disrespectful. It's kind of cool because it makes you a bit like Prince.
Let's go with that.
You just go with Uzo.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Is Uzo your real name?
I always get asked that question. Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't it be his real name?
Alex, it's a cool. It's like cool, isn't it?
It's the way I move, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of mellow.
It's kind of cool. I said.
All right,
Uzo.
I like the way you say it. Can you say it just a couple more times?
Uzo. Uzo.
When you say it like that, it does.
It's
sound,
cool, isn't it?
I don't think it sounds cool. It just sounds weird.
Uzo.
Everything sounds weird if you say it long enough, though. If you keep saying it,
yeah.
Every word actually just doesn't sound like any. It just sounds like a bunch of sounds.
Okay. Well, last week, Uzo, before we started the show, showed me a video of him being urinated on. don't worry. This is. I just realised we've got someone new in the room who didn't actually hear last week's show with Noel Clark, so they're probably pretty worried. There was a reason for Uzo getting urinated on, but we're just going to leave it at that. I won't tell you what the reason is. He's just into weird stuff. Today, the video that you showed me didn't actually feature you. It featured a rodent showering. Where the hell do you find a video of a rat showering?
Someone told me about it, and I was like, that's not true. Just like you said.
Yeah.
And then someone sent me the video. I was like, this is blowing my mind.
If I'm honest, I thought it was going to be like just a rat in a bath. Or like, you know, I thought it'd be like running rat.
Yeah.
But he's actually...
Yeah.
Showering.
Yeah, yeah. T-zones.
The T-zones.
Steep.
He's hitting the T-zones.
He's hitting the T-zones.
With the little claws. It's gold. It's gold, so for sure.
I like the way his head's in the air as well when he's doing it.
And he's proper soapy as well. Like, he's properly soaked himself down.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't care about the environment. Don't give a damn.
It's amazing. Anyway, enough about the boys. Joining us today for the Stew is someone who I've been a fan of for a long time, and I'm so glad that she's made it down to the Trap House. Welcome to Talk Stew, even, Little Sims.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I'm well.
Sims, as usual, you're turned out immaculately, but for some reason, you've got this really horrible bobbly scarf on today. Why on earth would you mess up your outfit with that piece of trash?
Mockery. Mockery. Let me just say that one more time. Mockery. That's chivalrous. No, she was cold. You don't have any heating in your house, bro. And you're inviting people, you're not telling them. So I said, would you like my scarf?
No, it's very generous. I'm here for it, personally.
Thank you.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, it doesn't go with what you're wearing.
I thought as much. I haven't seen what I look like. But
it's warm.
It's doing a job, for sure. It's keeping me very warm.
Does it smell nice?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I was actually going to say that to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
What does it smell like?
Man.
I don't know, it's just a nice scent.
Yeah, chivalry. It smells of chivalry.
It smells of your son's vomit. That's what it smells of. It smells of rusks and milk.
Rusks.
That's what it smells like. Actually, do you know
rusks.
What? I've been meaning to ask you this, and I'll ask you this as well, because I know your family, and I know that you got a little nephew who's super cute. Did you, or do you, Owen, as the only dad in the room, steal the baby's rusks?
Do I steal them?
Yeah.
I used to, I'm not going to lie.
You did?
Definitely.
They're the wickedest thing, isn't it?
Yeah, proper. That's
rusks.
Shortbread.
No, they are like shortbread.
I hate rusks. Not, listen, when your kid is about one or just under and they want a rusk and it's because they're teething, it gets so slimy and globby and horrible, and it goes on their clothes and on your furniture and on your clothes.
And it clumps in cotton.
Yeah, it clumps and it's just fucked up. I don't like it.
See, you're not a fan of rusks.
Nah, fuck rusks.
Have you ever indulged in a rusk?
Yeah, pre-celiac, when I didn't know I was gluten-free, I used to nail those.
Oh,
yeah.
You just said words that I don't know. What the hell is celiac?
Celiac's a... So basically, you've got two types of people that are gluten-free. You got people with celiacs.
And you got wankers. Else.
I thank the wankers because it means the gluten-free products have gone down in price.
So you, how did you discover you were gluten-free?
Went to the doctor. It was drugs, actually. I went to the doctor, private doctor, and he said, I did the tests, and he said, people of your, from your, of your type of, your background, so awkward, like, he just couldn't say the words, you know, and just sat there, just looked at him, I was waiting for him, to whether he was going to go black, coloured, or, you know, and eventually went, black people, just like, so good, that I oh, black people don't get celiacs. And I was like, okay, cool. So I said, okay, so if I have it, because it's unusual for you to have it, right? So I said, oh, if I have it, what's the worst case scenario? And he was like, well, if you keep eating gluten, you might get bowel cancer.
Jesus.
And I was like, oh, maybe I just won't eat it then. He was like, okay, good call. So
that was that.
No more rusks.
Yeah, that's money well spent at the private doctor. Amazing. We were debating about cab etiquette before we actually started recording because Sims has come all the way from North London to get here today. I've come from deep North London, which is why I was a little later than Sims. How embarrassing. Sorry about making you wait.
It's fine.
What's your cabby etiquette? Because it's a long old journey. Mm. Did you have a talkative cab driver today? Did you have someone that smelled? I mean, what was the condition? I'm concerned about what we put our guests through. Mm-hmm. I've made you wait. It's cold. You're wearing Owen's clumpy rusk scarf.
Fuck's sake.
I just want to make sure the journey was calm.
That's yeah, no, the journey was more than calm. I just put in my headphones.
Did you announce it?
No.
All right.
But when I feel like they want to get into deep conversation, I kind of just like, I'm going to put in my headphones if that's all right. And yeah, you feel free to put on the radio and, you know, do your thing.
That's confidence. I struggle with that.
It shouldn't be by force, you know. Not that I don't want to indulge in conversation, but I don't.
That's the end of the podcast.
Okay, to so, thanks for coming down.
So yeah, that's kind of how my journeys go, or at least how it went today.
But I feel that should be indication enough. I think when you're like, oh yeah, hi, how you doing? Yeah, and you get in and then you put your headphones in.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the universal sign that I'm just going to chill out and listen to some music.
Mm.
So why do they talk?
I don't know. I guess like, everyone needs human interaction at least a couple of times a day, and like if that's what they're doing all day every day, true, you don't really want to sit inside.
But there are two types of cab driver, I find, much like your gluten community. You've got the guys who like conversation,
yeah,
and then you've got the guys who are just kind of lonely.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the guys who like conversation, they'll sort of be polite, and if they see you don't want to chat, they'll just turn on heart and chill or talk sport. And then you got the guys who just, regardless of what you do, will keep talking to you.
Definitely. And sometimes I've had interactions with cab drivers where they've actually dropped knowledge on me. Like, you know, actually like real life gems. And I've sat there and I've taken it in. But more time, I think it's as well because basically I just finished my album and like I like the commute, going to places and just being able to just listen to it away from the studio and just in. You
I was
going
to ask what you were listening to.
Yeah, the new.
Wow.
Is it completely finished?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it mastered or just mixed?
No, it's not even really mixed. It's just there. Like, I've just got all the songs.
That's my favourite point.
Mm-hmm.
Just demo town.
Yeah.
That's how
it feels. It feels more than just demos. Like, it feels like these are the songs, but it just hasn't been fine-tuned.
Do you have more songs than you'll probably end up sticking with? Like, do you have like 25 and you're going to narrow them down to 12 or something?
Not that much, but I definitely would say I've got another like EP's worth of music that will probably just stay on my laptop for a minute.
Okay.
How can you decide what to have?
It's just a vibe throughout. It's just what I think sounds cohesive. I didn't want any fillers. I didn't want to just put songs on there just because I recorded it and just because, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's all about being cohesive.
Nice.
See, we sort of found ourselves in a really interesting point of the conversation because this new album is something I'm really interested to find out more about because you've been touring, you've seen the world. I imagine there's lots of stuff that you've put into this record.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really interested in the journey and I'm slightly distracted by the fact that I really want to take the mick out of Owen for saying Demo Town, but I won't because I'm better than that. I think
Can't between, you just between, sometimes just let him go. Just let him.
I know you thought about it. Between Uzo
Tim and Motel. So is the album in Demotown.
Between Demotown and Uzo.
I really
want to go there, but I won't. I think we should probably go a little bit back to the beginning of your career, really.
Okay.
Because UK rap as a thing was very different when you started, I imagine.
Yeah.
UK rap was almost like its own little pocket that lots of men of a certain age were a part of, and there weren't really that many women involved in. I mean, we've spoken before about Kung Fu and loads of other hip-hop nights that we used to go to, and they were very male. And then obviously you have the rise of UK garage, jungle, drum and bass, grime, and then this whole other movement happening over here. As someone who grew up in the same area as you, as someone who grew up with your big sisters, both of them, I'm really interested as to what it was that led you down the route of rap rather than garage or grime, because let's face it, where we grew up, everyone wanted to be Heartless Crew.
Yeah, for sure.
Why did you want to be a rapper?
I think, okay, so from before I started doing music, I was just always a performing arts kid. So whether that was like dance or acting or anything within a performing arts was just me. And like, I was always pushed to do it from an early age. But I guess I never really like thought of not going down, let's say, the garage or that sort of route. It's just what I enjoy. Like, I enjoy listening to Luda, I enjoy listening to Missy, and those type of beats are obviously more rap orientated as opposed to like the stuff here. But I think when I was around 14, I think I was doing grime for a long period of time.
Right, okay.
Yeah, definitely. 14 to like maybe even 17, I was doing sets, radio sets, I was doing all these things. So I was still involved in that culture. Plus, like you said, we grew up in the area, so I was always surrounded with it.
What stations were you on?
I remember I went on Heartless Crew. They had a show at the time.
On 1X, yeah.
Yeah. Was that on that show?
Yeah.
And a couple others in my area. Like, do you know White Lion?
No.
You don't know White Lion?
As in the pub?
No, the youth centre.
No. Well, see, you touched on performing arts, and I went to Anishe with both of your sisters.
Yeah.
And they were in the same class as me.
Yeah.
And Anna used to take great pleasure in announcing your surname. It's so nice to say. And I'm interested as to why you never came to the performing arts place in our area, which is a certain corner in North London.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go to Anna's?
I went to a few sessions at Anna's.
Right.
But I was more at St. Mary's, which was dance. At that time, my thing was more dance.
Yeah.
And I even used to teach dance to like a lot of the older kids that were older than me. And it was just like, that was just what I was on. And then I think as I got older, my sister started putting me up for jobs. And then I started getting little acting gigs here and there. And then music just kind of came in and just took over.
So why music over dance or performing as an actor?
Man, I don't know, man. I just feel like it was in my calling. Some things just can't really be explained, like, you know.
So how'd you go from garage to rap then? Because they are very different worlds. I know you said that you were doing garage and you were also really into the likes of Missy Elliott and Luda, etc.
Yeah.
But what was it that made you make the decision that that's the lane you're going to go down?
I think in terms of production, my flow has always been quite skippy or quite fast. And so I felt like merging that with different kind of sounds in terms of slower hip-hop beats and break beats and even experimenting with other genres completely away from rap or hip-hop. Like, I just done some stuff with the Gorillaz that's completely left to what I would usually do. So I think I've just always been a type that's down to try different things and be alternative with it. Yeah. I think it shows in this new album as well, definitely. And it's even scary because people, I feel like, are so used to hearing me doing one particular type. So scary to like switch it completely.
Yeah. So what was it like to put that first project together, that first EP?
My first ever EP in life. It was fun. I didn't really think about it too much. It was just making music and I guess challenging myself in different ways and learning how to use music programs.
How old were you at the time?
Probably like 15.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Not producers, not like trying to let me in studio. So me just saving up, investing my money, buying a PC and then buying music programs and just teaching myself how to do things was kind of...
Why weren't you being let in?
Because I just think I was just annoying. Like, I was bugging people, like, just like, please, can I come? And, you know, there were other people that were more established at the time or that had a bigger name, and they were the focus, you know, which is cool, it's fine. And I feel like I'm kind of glad that happened. I'm happy I got given it the hard way.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
So to fast forward then to the bigger sort of EPs, the EPs that really put you on the map, what would you say was the moment where things changed from you being the person that wasn't allowed in the studio and had to sort of teach themselves to suddenly having a project that people were talking about or that, you know, you were getting amazing reviews for?
I think each time I've put out a project, it's opening me up.
And there's loads of them as well.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Each time I've put out a project, it's kind of open me up even more to new audiences, to new demographics. But I think when I released my first album, A Curious Tale of Trials and Persons, is when I feel like I really caught people's attention. Mm. And then Stillness in Wonderland, my last album, was like, all right, I've kind of established myself in this now. You know what I'm saying? So if you're mentioning all these people, you're definitely going to mention me. Mm. That's how... Yeah, I felt like.
Is that what you were gauging it on? Like when you say, are you fast? How you felt then was when you were like, what was giving you the indications? Was it people saying your name or was it just like the stream numbers or?
Yeah, and just I think traveling as well. When I was going to different places like Australia or these, I had no idea my music was migrating to these parts of the earth. You know what I'm saying? So when I was going to witness this firsthand, it was like, oh, okay. People actually know, because I'm just here in North London, like just in my own bubble. You don't know how far music actually spreads until I think you go there and these people come out to your show and you see them singing lyrics back to you. And like, it's like, okay, cool. This is doing something.
That must be an incredibly surreal feeling to be on the other side of the planet.
Yeah.
To not be signed to a major label and to turn up to an event and have people rap back your lyrics. Now, I know, obviously, Verse, your manager.
Yeah, yeah.
And he told me that you'd sold out gigs in Australia recently.
Yeah.
I love the fact you just say it like it's normal.
Australians, they love British.
They
British
really do. But I mean, the fact that you're not having anyone actively promote your music and it's literally just streams, I imagine, that's doing it and YouTube. And what was that like turning up to that first gig in Australia, let's say? And can you sort of set the scene in terms of the size of the venue? Uzo might know because he pretty much lives there.
So what
was it like and where was it?
The first time I went to Australia, I think was in 2016, early 2016. I played Sydney, I played Perth, I played Brisbane and Melbourne.
That's mad. Like everywhere.
Yeah, basically.
It was for my first album, first time over there. Didn't know what to expect. Wasn't really expecting much, to be honest, because it was a completely different territory and like... Yeah. I just don't like getting my hopes up for things just in case, you know. But I remember I played the two shows we sold out, I think were Melbourne and Sydney, the first time we went there. I played on my birthday. I'll never forget that. It was ram. Like, it was just nuts. Like,
what birthday was this? How old were you?
I was turning 22. Yeah, I was turning 22. I'm about to turn 24 on Friday, actually. So, yeah. That was like one to remember for
sure.
Crazy.
Wow. So you were there in the summer. Yeah, nice.
And then a year later, released a new album and went back again and done the same thing.
Well, for a British rapper, unsigned, to be selling out venues on the other side of the world is absolutely huge.
Yes,
that was the first album.
Yes.
So for your signed contemporaries and for the rappers that you grew up listening to that weren't able to do that, what was their reaction to you? Did they embrace you or did they sort of shun you and what it is you represented?
Here? Yeah. I think I've been embraced. I think it's a weird one. I feel like people sometimes don't really know with me, as in they don't know how to approach me. They don't know how to, you know, I feel like I'm in, but I'm still on the outside looking in.
Why is that?
Probably because I haven't been signed this whole time. So... there's a lot of things that naturally I'm not gonna be at a label party because I'm not with a label. You know what I'm saying? So when everyone's like getting to know each other and doing all that stuff, I'm not in all that, you know? So I think naturally it's just kind of wedged a bit of a gap. And I think that gets misconstrued as like I'm antisocial or like, and it's just not the case. I'm just I just keep myself to myself and I just keep my head down. And I found this worked for me. You know, I didn't necessarily come, I'm cool with people, but I didn't come to make friends or like to, you know, I just came to do what I love and change my life and my family's life. So I feel like I don't want to lose sight of that. You know,
yeah. When you were an artist, because you're a songwriter now, and you're working with new artists all the time. Mm-hmm. When you were actually an artist yourself, who was managed and was putting out EPs and going for that deal, did you ever notice a division between you and your contemporaries and those that were signed?
Yeah, bearing in mind when I was doing it, it was about 10 years ago. So like,
that's kind of scary. It's been that long.
So, I mean, the internet wasn't playing such a big role in artists' lives, which it is now. And for me, I felt like everyone was chasing the deal. So, like, it was like, oh, you'd be at a party or a gig or something and be like, oh, yeah, I just done my deal. Mm. And you'd be like, oh, congratulations, man. Who'd you sign to? That's really cool.
Uzo.
So, yeah, there was and my manager at the time was always like, Richard was always like, the deal doesn't matter. The deal's not important. Deal doesn't matter, like, and only now in the position I'm in where I'm on, if you like, on the other side of the camera, I realize that the deal would, you know, in certain circumstances the deal doesn't matter, and it's not a guarantee and it's not anything, but you still chase it because you grow up kind of like dreaming of signing a record deal.
And it's sorry to cut you, but it's not to say like I will never do, you know, a sign or do a deal or anything.
Oh, she wants the payday.
No. You must have had offers. Some offers.
Yeah, for sure. But it's just never, I'm not desperate for things. And like, I'm not going to jump at the first thing or put all my eggs in one basket. And I see myself being in this for a very, very long time.
But it must take quite a lot to, because also just going back to when I was heavily influenced by people around me. And I was very, if I respected you and you told me I should be doing something, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I should be doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I was quite led by what people were saying. And I think it takes someone who's a lot sort of like stronger will than I was to not sign a deal.
Because
they must have, like, I imagine, got progressively more interesting or enticing. And to still say, I'm okay for now.
Yeah.
I rate that a lot to be.
Have you been tempted?
Yeah. Right. Of course.
Not to get into the detail of it, but was it the financial or was it the terms that tempted you?
I guess the financial, because if the terms were right, then I'd have done it. You know what I mean? But obviously that's like, right, that's this. Like, you start spending up here, you know what I'm saying? But I'm so thankful that I didn't go that route, because I'd have probably been fucked right now.
And things are going well. I mean, not to share with everyone your business, but you know, you've just done something that a lot of people aspire to do as a young Londoner, and that's to own your own home. That's something that not a lot of people are able to do that work a 9-to-5, and you've done that through music and more importantly, independently. Now, why is it that you think that you've achieved that? Obviously, your music's good enough, but why is it that you think that you've got to this place so early in your career? This place of stability, to be clear.
Australia.
Australia. Work rate, I think. I think over the past maybe 3, even 4 years, my live circuit has just, because that's really where artists make their most income off. No one's really buying music, you know, it's all off live. So I've been blessed enough to tour and just keep that going and save and have wicked advisors and really good people around me that ensure that I'm not being reckless or I'm not doing anything crazy. And I have older sisters that are tigers and that will, you know what I'm saying, check me if ever I get to, you know. So I've been blessed enough to have, it's not just all been me, do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes, I'm young, I do things that I like.
A bit crazy.
Yeah, a bit wild.
What did they say when you turned up with that shiny little Sims chain you've got on at the minute?
I got one nose ring.
I don't think you actually looked. She looked like, what?
I don't know.
Not you.
No, I think so. It's not me.
How much has streaming played a part in your business and the success that you found?
I think streaming's played its part. I wouldn't say it's played a huge part. I think, if anything, it's been the shows, people coming out, people wanting to see me live, then the festivals, then, you know, supporting so many artists on their tours. That's helped as well. But yeah, I think streaming's played a part for sure.
Has it helped you internationally in terms of the touring side of things?
For sure. Even looking at the other day, I was like just going over statistics on SoundCloud and I don't really check stuff like that. And just out of interest, I was just like, oh, let me just see. And a lot comes from the States and Australia. Mm. So I would have just thought because I'm a Londoner,
yeah,
I'll be playing more here. But it turns out it's not.
Owen and I were talking, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, about being independent and about the lane that you chose to operate in. You actually found something out about Sims.
Someone told me that you got Arts Council funding or PRS funding to help you out.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to ask you about it because I think people don't know that that's an option and what it means and what it does. I just wondered what your take on
that. Well, that was for, because I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you're going to be there, but Marshall 4th Roundhouse. So I've...
That was the big plug at the end, man. Oh, you're fucking up my whole thing here.
No, only because he asked, and that was like what we...
Building up to that, man. Shit.
That was what we had applied for to help, you know, put money behind this. And because, again, it is an independent thing, having to draw from very different places to make sure that we're able to fund this and it could be as big as it could possibly be.
So it was PRS funding you applied for?
Yeah. And we was blessed enough to have it.
So amazing. So people can just, if they're struggling or if they don't know how to get funding for things or they're not signed or they don't have someone to help them out, then they can just apply.
For sure. There's also Prince's Trust, which is a good one. It's just ideas. These people are looking for people with ideas, you know what I'm saying? And they have money and they have, you know what I'm saying, tools and facilities and they just need ideas.
And for the record, Prince's Trust have got money. Yeah. I'll never forget when I was doing The Voice, Will.i.am donated his entire check from doing the show to the Prince's Trust.
Damn.
And like, obviously it's not the done thing to ask how much somebody else is getting paid that you work with.
Right.
But he stood there with a $500,000 check.
Wow.
Handed it over and I was like, I ain't getting that. Have you seen my house? I ain't getting $500,000. He gave his whole check to the Prince's
crazy.
Trust.
That's tight.
So I suppose if you are listening and you need some funding, that's definitely
Something to look into. Definitely.
A place to go. Now, in terms of climate outside of streaming and where people can hear your music, I was really interested in this idea of you being not only a young rapper, but being a female.
Mm.
Because rap is, it's a male-dominated industry.
Mm-hmm.
And in the UK, and in the UK even more so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a handful of female MCs that we can name, and there's an even smaller pile of female MCs that actually sustain and stick around from here.
Yeah.
Who would you say are your contemporaries, and has being a lone ranger been difficult?
Yeah, but I've always been that way inclined, though. I've always been a bit of a lone wolf. I've always just kind of, so in work, it doesn't feel any different, you know. My contemporaries are Kendrick. If I'm just talking about like people who, that sounds really anal, doesn't it?
No, I'm really glad that's your answer so far because I kind of teed you up to see where your head is. Because I was interested to see whether you were going to say female MCs or whether you were just going to say MCs.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because as far as I'm concerned as a fan, an MC is an MC is an MC.
Yeah.
I don't care whether the voice is from a man or a woman.
Yeah,
I just want to hear good content.
Yeah, right.
And I'm really interested to hear where your head's at on that because,
Sure.
I mean, you have said arguably the greatest rapper alive right now, which says a lot about your mindset. So who else would you throw into that pot? Are there any women in that pot?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Rhapsody's tight.
Perhaps
she's for sure. She's actually playing at the festival, which I'm really excited about.
Your festival, that's nuts. It's Grammy nominated Rhapsody.
She's really, really up there for me. Like I said, Kendrick, I'd like J. Cole, Kanye. I don't know. I'm just going to go big in it because why not?
Yeah.
Andre 3000.
He's up there, man. He's in the top five.
Yeah, he's top five for me as well.
Why is Andre up there for you, Wiz?
Just the flow is just madness. And I think he experiments. I love his voice as well.
Mm-hmm.
You sure it's not his array of scarves?
I mean, that definitely adds. Yeah. There's no question about
that.
He has
a great wardrobe. Yeah,
he does. He really does.
Sure. Nicest scarf than Owen.
Yeah, he's up there. Top five. Let's do top
five. I can't do top five.
I can't do it.
If
like
you
I
had
said,
to,
like I said
head.
In a couple episodes ago, I can't even do my top five Wu-Tang. Let alone my top five in the world.
Yeah, it's impossible. Because music is mood, right? Yeah. Same with film. I can't.
Also,
that's a
I'm
good
so,
point.
I'm so deep True. Into hip-hop that I could do your top five gangster rap or top five conscious rap.
Yeah.
New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You know what I mean?
There's, but you're on a desert much. Island for 20 years, right? Yeah. What are you taking with you?
Biggie Smalls person.
Yes, 100%. I was just about to say that.
For sure.
That's a difficult one for me, you know? I don't know what I'd take. Like, I understand the Biggie argument, but he's one of my favourite rappers, but it's the thing... The thing that really gets me is the stuff that's moves me. So when I think about the greatest memories I have, it's around one album, and it's not the biggest, the most popular album.
Will Smith.
But yeah, Miami Vice. What is it? Big Willie Style by Willie Smith.
All the hits. All the hits on there.
It's Fantastic Volume 2 by Slum Village.
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah.
So for me... As a teenager, the amount of emotional memories I have attached to that from girls at the time, you know, I was a teenager to even just falling in love with hip hop and being emotional. Like Dilla had this talent to make beats emotional and to actually move you with a sample in a way that nobody else really did for me. And don't get me wrong, I love Biggie and I love what he said. He made me laugh in a way that Park never did. But there was something about Fantastic Volume 2 that didn't have the best lyricism, but had the best feeling.
Absolutely.
The swing.
It's still to now. And it's like, it's not quantized. It's offbeat in places. It's rough around the edges.
Yeah.
It's a mood. I don't know. I hate the question. But if I was forced to answer it, it might be that.
Yeah, I'm taking Welcome to Detroit to the island.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm with you. With the Fantastic Volume 2 was just game changer for me. Yeah. It was just like...
And it's weird, like Volume 1 isn't as good.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, they're pretty much the same album. It's just Volume 2 is a bit more polished. It's like the first NERD album. There's a studio version and a live version. And for some reason, even though they're the same songs, the live version is the one that everyone bought and everyone knows. And there's something about... I don't know, just not being fixed in the way that hip hop is. There's something about not being quantized. There's something about not being on the four bar.
I stopped quantizing like 2 years ago.
Can you, for the non-nerdy people listening, can you explain what it is as the producer in the room?
Okay, so like, because predominantly music's all made on computers nowadays, there's effectively a grid where you set your tempo. So let's say we're making a hip hop tune.
I can't believe we're explaining quantizing.
Stop me if I go terribly boring. I might become so boring. Jeez. I'm going to keep this short because I do have a tendency to become fucking boring. Okay, so it's on a grid and it's 90 BPM, which is 90 beats per minute. And if it's in 4/4, then it's 4 beats per bar, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
That was quick.
And what you can do
he's trying to go.
And that's quantizing.
I was trying to wrap you up, bro.
Okay, I'm going to do really quickly. So you put a beat on... But you asked me what quantizing was.
Keep going, go for it.
And where does the name come from?
Jesus Christ!
We're hemorrhaging listeners.
This is my profession! Can I just say, while we're on the subject of greats, you said something a little earlier, which you can't just drop and throw away.
What's up?
Is that you've been working with the Gorillaz, all right? Now, the Gorillaz only fuck with certain people, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Bashy, Kano, Roots Manuva.
Yes.
And you.
And Mos Def, I think, as well.
Yeah, but from England.
But from
England. That's amazing. That's like a nod. For me, Gorillaz are like the king. How was that?
What did Damon smell like?
Damon is like, yo, whatever his like mantra is in life is what I am aspiring for. Like, he's just such a peaceful person and just like really cares about music. Do you know what I'm saying? And really like lives and breathes it, you know? And it's just so nice to be around true musicians. Like you were saying, similar to Quantat, he's like off grid and it's all, you know, that's rare, I think, to find nowadays because everyone wants to be so polished and so like, you know, and with Damon, it's just always authentic. And it's just like, you know, he always says, don't think, man, just, you know, just go on a mic, just freestyle, just do it. Like you're thinking. Because in my head, it's like, I just better make sure I deliver. You know what I'm saying? I got Damon to my left, I got Jamie to my right. I just, you know, pressure's on type of thing. But he's like, no, man, you stop thinking, you're good. Like, you know.
Have you felt yourself become a better musician by being around him?
Yeah, for sure. Learning not to think as much in that sense and not feeling like the studio is like your bathroom, let's just say. What do you do in your bathroom? It's personal. It's your personal space.
Well, you don't want to know.
Well, okay, maybe
there's
not.
There's a rat in there.
I'm in the shower.
There's a big lock on my bathroom door.
Either way, it's your personal space. And like, just being able to see that and feeling like I can be my truest self in the studio. And Damon is that. He's his truest self in the studio. And that shows, and you hear that in the music. And so that's one thing I think I didn't know. Even though I'm a musician, I kind of found it hard to work in studios because for the longest time I've been making music in my bedroom. So when you put me in a studio that's like with an engineer that's got to leave by 6 because he's got kids, and like, I don't know how to manage those things because I'm used to being up late just on my laptop. Just, it's a different way to make music.
Is he on the new album?
No, but I've got songs with him. That's like my songs.
That he's produced?
That someone else has produced, Sigurd, a producer from Denmark, but it didn't end up on the record. Okay, doesn't mean the world's not going to hear it.
He wasn't good enough. Okay. Nah. He didn't make the cut. I understand. It's fine. All right, look, we've not got much time with you because, as I said, we've all started, well, we all arrived super late, especially us.
It's fine.
We all coming from North. Or were people coming
here waiting? We're a team.
Waiting. I'm pretty sure me and you here.
We're a team. That's what I remember. As a team, as a unit, we started late. So with that being the case, I'm just going to fire some stuff at you because there's so much that I wanted to talk to you about. You're kind of going to have to come back for us to finish this conversation.
I'm here for it, for good. Sure.
Okay. We spoke about temptation to sign to major labels.
Yes.
I don't want to be the guy that's like, rumor. But is it true that Andre 3000 watched you perform?
Yes. It was at a Goldlink show.
God, I love Goldlink.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, tight, super tight. In Shoreditch. And he had just asked me to jump on and do a song. And then I got told that Andre was in the crowd. And then I just left. Like, I didn't go up to him or anything. Like, I just dipped and I went towards the back of the venue and he was just chilling by the like fire escape. And then he was like, oh, you were just, and I was like, yeah, and you're, and then yeah. Kind of just, yeah.
Did you have a chat?
Yeah, we did. This was like a long time ago though.
No, I remember it being something I heard a while back
and it was quite brief. And then it was just literally just me and him. And then people came looking for me, and then obviously the crowd started pouring in and it started getting a bit crazy, and he had left by that point. But it was cool that I got to have that interaction with him. And then I saw him again in New York at SOBs and he had remembered me, and it was like, hey. So it was cool to know he knows I exist.
When you spoke about your favourite rappers, you mentioned, or the rappers that you see yourself as a peer of, you mentioned Kendrick.
Yeah.
What's the relationship and connection to TDE? And is there one, or is that just rumor?
No, I've had many encounters with Kendrick. He's just been kind of like a supporter and has gone on air and has said nice things about me. And just to know that he sees me in that light is just like fire in my belly. It just makes you want to do more. And I'm cool with like SZA and Isaiah Rashad. So I've always kind of had, it's every time I go to LA and I'd link one of them, it's just, it seems like family type situation. Yeah,
I think when I took you for lunch in LA maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
And I think you,
I bust so many people on that spot, by the way.
Oh, it's wicked, isn't it?
Yeah.
just giving up my little, hiding away my little quiet corner. But I think you'd either just come from or you were going to meet either someone from TDE. I can't quite remember who it was. And I was trying to like be cool, but I was so excited.
I remember that.
Being out there and having that pocket of friends, does that not make you want to do the thing that a lot of people in this country that are musicians are dying to do? And that is go on the big American adventure. Does that not make you think, wow, if I move there, I could sign to TDE or I could be affiliated and do records with them, blah, 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 blah. Does that not make you want to do that?
No, not necessarily. I feel like I don't want to milk it. Like, it's cool. I like that I can go over there and I can spend time with those people and I can come back home and just chill. Like, I don't, to be immersed in that 24/7 is like, I don't know, a bit much for me. But at the same time, not an overstaying my welcome type thing, but I just know when it's time to keep it moving.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because again, I'm just always just on my own path on my own, you know, and I don't want to, not just with them, like just with anything, I don't like getting pulled in many different directions kind of thing.
Listen, there's so much more to get into, and I can see questions stuck in Owen's throat. It's right annoying. Now he's leaning forward because you get in charge. Do you want to just go on, get one out?
No,
go on.
No, come on.
It's about quantizing.
So there's a grid, right?
Go on, you got one. Go on, get it out.
Too much pressure. I don't know. Do you quantize?
I used to be proper on that, but no, for real, I proper did. But then, even just like working on this album, the producer I'm working with, Inflow.
Oh, shut up! Inflow's a genius. Do you know Inflow?
No.
Oh man, this album's gonna be sick. Everyone, ladies and gentlemen.
Ben Ivett. He's kind of like introduced me to a new way of seeing music and just not seeing it like science.
Because his workflow is different. Sometimes he does like an hour and then goes. And
And he just taught me about, you know, sometimes being in the studio is like, it's 80% not work and 20% work.
That's amazing.
You know? Yeah. When we first got in LA, and we just talked. We had 4 sessions and we just talked. And it got to a point where I was like, all right, I'm kind of talked out here, like, you know, I kind of want to make music, and, you know, and then he played these really not good chords on guitar. So in my mind, I'm like, you've spoken to me for 3 days nonstop. Then when we want to make music, you want to play these 1-2 chords that are not. What even is this, you know? And he was like, yo, like, your voice is your instrument. You know, if you're a pianist, I'll be sitting down with you going through, you know, he just put me on a different way of like looking at music, and, you know, don't look for instant gratification, you know what I'm saying? Take your time with it, it's cool.
So what exactly is Space, and is it still a part of what you're doing, and a massive part of your future as an artist?
Space is started as really just a bunch of friends. We're all from North, we all grew up in the same area, and just the idea we had for it is just, let's just create our own opportunities. There was a point where money's low, everyone's trying to look for jobs, people are getting into retail, doing this, that and the other, and it's like, nah, like, let's just create our own opportunities, let's put the money we do have together, let's start clothing, let's the guys will come over and we record songs and then make an EP, and we would just really like try and do everything, I guess, off our own back. And it's, I guess it's paid off. It's cool. At the festival, they're going to come and we're going to sell Space merch. And, you know, those are like my brothers as well. So
I only know one other member of Space, and that's Faddy the actor.
Yeah, he's doing brilliantly. Yeah,
he's great. I've met him once when he came into audition for something I was directing. He's a really talented actor.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else that we might be aware of or that we should be looking out for from the group?
Definitely Tiller. Tiller's really, really a very, very talented individual. He sings, he's like just a good soul, man, and he just really understands music. He's young as well, he's 19. There's Josh and there's Chucks and Smucks. So I guess all those guys you should for sure.
Okay. All right. Before we go, you've got to shout about this thing that's happening in a few weeks' time.
Yep.
That I'm actually involved in, I'm really excited about as well.
Come on,
it's gonna be good. Can you tell everyone what it is you're doing and why they should be excited about it too?
Okay. So March 4th, we're taking over to Camden Roundhouse for my festival called Welcome to Wonderland. This is the second year we're doing it. So last year was the first time. It was just kind of like part of their Roundhouse Rising Festival. And this year we've managed to create it where it's bigger. So we have more acts, there's different stages, and it's all themed, I guess, around Wonderland and my album. So we have the actors panel, which Ready. He's ready, but he's also ready. He's going to be handling, like I said, people from the States, people from here.
It's going to be, I need to say the names because I'm so excited to do it. I'm hosting a Q&A with Will Potter, who's an amazing young British actor who looks like he could be related to Owen. Just looking at you now, I was like, well, that's a bit weird.
Yeah, Will's my cousin.
He got your eyebrows plus two. Will with the eyebrows and Riz Ahmed, who I'm a huge fan of and a friend of. And it's going to be a really cool Q&A, I think. Yeah. But Rhapsody's on the main stage.
Rhapsody's on the main stage.
Who is one of my favourite artists right now. I love her record and she should have won well.
She was, she, yeah. I don't know, 444 could have won the Grammy, uh-huh. but she also could have won the Grammy. Uh-huh. It was a tough year. Kendrick mm-hmm. took it, mm-hmm. but she deserved something.
For
that,
sure, for sure.
Anyhow, who else is performing aside from yourself and Rhapsody?
We have Ezra Collective. We have Lioness.
She's an amazing musician.
Yeah. Alice she's an amazing musician. For sure. Jungle Pussy. Which you don't like.
I'm going to leave
don't, that. I mean, don't, don't, don't.
Oh,
don't.
My God. Right. You'll see anyway.
Stand
you'll
out.
See.
Who's out?
Sorry. Little Sims, thank you very much for joining us on Talk
thank
Stew.
Thank you guys, man. I'm actually warmed up.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like energy in the room has been great. So thank you.
In hindsight, has it been wearing mm-hmm. Owen's scarf?
Oh, I'm taking this home.
Why?
What's your problem with the scarf? You're wearing tracksuit bottoms and a suit jacket.
Yeah, but look and how tight. Look how tight they are, though. Yeah,
can you stop cussing me? Leave me alone.
You look like a bobsleigh guy. Talking about my scarf.
All right, on my tight trousers and on Owen's bobbly scarf, I think it's only fair we say goodbye now. Thank you, Little Sims.
Thank you
for coming
down.
Thank
you, guys, man. Thank you.
We don't do claps. What are you doing?
It was quantizing.
He was trying to
quantize the outro.
Okay, so the outro is officially at 7 BPM. Thank you, Owen, and we'll see you next time for more Talks to You.
Peace.
Talk Stew is a Pixie U 57 production. Now don't forget you can hear more bonus content from The Stew on Deezer.com.
Deezer. Originals.